Okay. Section 3. God gives Adam dominion. God has absolute dominion over all of creation. This is a manifestation of his nature. His children would have the same natural instinct because they are the same kind of being. Therefore, God gave Adam a sphere of dominion also, a place where Adam could have authority. Back to Genesis chapter 1 again, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God gave Adam dominion over all the earth and everything in the earth, including every living creature of the air, of the land, and of the sea. Okay, we all know that. That's pretty elementary. But let's define dominion. This is from Webster's 1913 dictionary. I said before, I love the old Webster's because he used a lot of scriptural definitions in it. A lot of scriptural definitions. Not like today's dictionaries at all. Dominion. Sovereign or supreme authority. This is what God gave to Adam over the earth. Sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing and controlling, independent right of possession, use, and control. Sovereignty, supremacy. Synonym being sovereignty. So I looked up sovereignty, also from Webster's 1913. And it says, the quality or state of being sovereign, or of being a sovereign, the exercise of, or right to exercise, supreme power, dominion, sway, supremacy, independence. So just for good measure, I also looked up sovereign. The person, body, or state in which independent and supreme authority is vested, especially in a monarchy, a king, queen, or emperor. Now, in all three of these definitions, the descriptive terms independent and supreme authority are used. Independent, supreme authority. He gave Adam supreme authority on this planet. Independent right of possession, use, and control. Independent means without interference. Independent, without interference. Well, that's what independent means. It means without interference. Independent, without interference. Okay? So Adam was given this kind of dominion over this planet. He was given supreme authority and independent right of possession, use, and control. Okay? That is what dominion is. Independent, supreme authority. God created this universe, fashioned the earth, and gave it to Adam. I'll say it again. God created the universe, fashioned this earth, and gave it to Adam. Psalm 115:16 says this, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." Okay, but wait a minute. The scriptures also tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 10, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is." And again, in the Psalms, Psalm 24, he says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So, the Bible both says that the earth was given to men, and it also says that it belongs to the Lord. Now, how can both of those things be correct? The earth belongs to Adam. The earth belongs to God. The earth belongs to Adam. The earth belongs to Adam. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me. she don't? Well, I have found, and I'm sure everybody else in here has found the same thing, that, well, number one, we know that the Word of God is perfect, and it does not contradict itself. So when we do find something in the Bible that appears to be contradictory, that appears to be a paradox, that appears to be dichotomous, is that a word? I just made one up. What, is it? You're in college. Is it a word? Although I'm sure it's the same for everybody else here. When I stumble across something in the Bible that appears to be contradictory, usually, well, first of all, if I can't understand it, I pray about it and I put it on the back burner because I know that it's not contradictory. I pray about it and I ask God to give me revelation. I ask Him to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know. Anyway, that prayer of Paul's in Ephesians, and I just put it on the back burner and I wait till God gives me an answer. When I get an answer, it usually ends up being an awesome revelation. Because if you find something in the Bible that looks like it's contradictory, the only reason why it looks like it's contradictory is because of our own ignorance or lack of knowledge. So once God gives us the knowledge necessary to resolve that issue, it's a revelation. Right? So here's our problem. The Bible says that the earth was given to Adam, but then it also says that the earth belongs to God. Now there is a condition known to mankind where one person owns something yet has given complete authority over it to another. There is a word in English to describe that. I'm sure every language has a similar word. Can anybody tell me what it is? Very close. It's called a lease. A rental agreement. A lease. A lease is where one person owns a piece of property, but another person is giving legal rights to it for a period of time. It's called a lease. Now, I know about this because I rented a house in California before we moved out here. I rented a house for about, 7 years we lived in that house. And we had a pretty nice landlord. But I learned some things about a lease while I was there. One, I never saw him. Now, he could have come by and knocked on the door, but guess what? He owned the house, but he couldn't come in without my permission. That's the truth. Why? Because I had a lease agreement with him. He'd given me complete legal authority over that piece of property for the terms of the lease while I lived there. Now, there were certain rules and restrictions. I couldn't remodel his house without permission. There were certain things I couldn't do. But for all intents and purposes, that property was mine until the lease expired. Does everybody understand that? Now, Jesus tells a parable in Mark chapter 12. And I'm just going to have verse 1 up on the screen, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole story, but you'll recognize it from the gospel. The scripture says, "He began to speak to them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen." Now notice that phrase, "let it out." "And went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last to them, saying, they will reverence or honor my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? Well, he will come and destroy those husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. Okay, now, the phrase, let it out, is an old English phrase. I like the King James Version, so I use it. But I looked this up in a couple other versions just to try to give us a clear understanding of what that word means. And in the 21st century King James Version, it reads this way. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and dug a place for the wine fat, and built a watchtower, and he leased it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And I also looked it up in the Contemporary English Version, which says, a farmer once planted a vineyard, he built a wall around it and dug a pit to crush the grapes in. He also built a lookout tower. Then he rented out his vineyard and left the country. See, there is a circumstance, there is a situation, there is a context, a storyline that we can apply to these two separate concepts, the one being that man has authority in the earth and the other that God owns this earth. Both can be true if we look at it this way. See, this planet is owned by God. He made it. He's the creator. But he gave authority over it to man. That's called a lease. It's called a rental agreement. I did a little research on leases this week when I was doing my study just to sort of see what common law was about leases around the world. And you know, common law for a lease is pretty consistent around the entire planet, no matter what culture you go to. And that is, when an owner of a property leases it to another, he releases all active control of that property during the period of the lease. That's part of the understanding of a lease. So that's how a lease works. A lease is when one person owns something, but they give effective and complete and independent control of it to somebody else. Is everybody with me? Every word of God, whether in the form of a command, a blessing, or a curse, contains the faith of God and therefore contains within itself the power to bring itself to pass. God's words are containers and they carry the authority of God within them. When God told Adam that he had dominion over this earth, there's no change in that. God said it, and that settles it. God gave Adam dominion over this earth, and even God won't take it back. Why won't he? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not bring it to pass? When God speaks something, that's the way it is. It doesn't change. God gave dominion over this planet to Adam, and there's nothing that you, or I, or even God will do about it. That's not going to change. Paul says in Titus that God cannot lie. And in Hebrews, that it's impossible for God to lie. Now, I had a debate with somebody about this one time on Christian forums. And they said, sure, God can lie, he just chooses not to. And I said, well, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says he can't lie. I told him, I said, I really don't want to argue with you about it, because effectively it's the same thing. Whether he won't lie or he can't lie, he's not lying. Let's not argue semantics. So here's the situation. Adam was given complete and independent supreme authority over this planet. That meant, and look, nobody throw stones at me now. This is, I know this will hurt religious sensibilities, but Adam had dominion on this planet. God couldn't even get here, in here, without Adam's invitation. I'm going to say it again. And I don't care if you don't like it, because it's the truth. God gave Adam complete and independent authority over this planet. That means God himself could not step foot on this planet without Adam's invitation. Now, that's just the way of it. God's the owner, but Adam's the lessor.